The song of 2025 has been sung. And it ends with gratitude. The song for 2026 has just begun. It's not yet written, but it too begins with gratitude. For all of you who are gathered here on this snowy morning, for the shoveling that has already happened, for those who have put together the annual meeting, which will be at 1 p.m. online today, for all who've worked on every aspect of the ministry of St. Michael's Church over the past year and the past 250 years, for the profile and search committee, for Saturday Kitchen, for choirs and acolytes, for faithful discipleship in so many ways. The gospel text today was about that very thing, about Jesus calling those first disciples, fishermen, Simon Peter, James, and John. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "Yes," was the immediate response, and they left their boats and followed. That is the kind of discipleship that I have experienced here in these three short months. Jesus long ago called this parish to the neighborhood, and you in each generation have answered, "Yes." Now you're beginning another chapter. It's a different chapter. It's in a digital and divided world, which is already proclaimed a post-denominational age, a divided world which threatens animosity among faiths, which distorts Christianity into white Christian nationalism enterprise, and only yesterday offered another moment of terror to those who gather to witness to the respect of every human being. All of this defies that greatest commandment, which we follow as much as we possibly can. It defies that word that love matters most. Yet every Sunday here at St. Michael's, you only have to read the front of the bulletin to know that wherever you are and whoever you are, wherever you might be in that journey, you are welcome and you belong. You show that in so many ways, not just by what you do, but who you are. And one of the greatest gifts to me in these ways is how all of that is undergirded by prayer. I have to tell you, I got to this knowledge in a difficult way. Every Wednesday, one of the clergy helps to lead the 7:45 morning prayer. And when it was my turn, I was almost 10 minutes late, because I just couldn't quite handle the technology. And that happened twice when I was in charge. I get on earlier and earlier, and yet again, I'm not quite there. But when I get there, those who are gathered assure me that wherever I am on my journey, I am welcome. And so as I pray together with them, I've now learned to join on time, and especially not just when I'm leading the prayer. But what I also learned was that this small group of folks are faithfully praying for this parish, not just in general, but in specific. Each day there are prayers for various ministries, and they are named. There are prayers for the world, and those are named. And there are prayers for each one of us. You know that they are named because you get a card in the mail that says, "Today you have been prayed for at morning prayer or noonday prayer. I loved it when I got that card, and I know that you do too. And so what it means to help us live out that commandment of love is to undergird it by prayer. And these small groups help each of us to do that, and especially when we're late to the party. So what's next? Any of you who has ever given birth to anything, maybe a baby, but anything else, knows that transition is the hardest time. It's that moment between some sort of safety and some kind of womb pushes whatever is to be born into a really small place in order to come out into the world, which is full of danger and full of fear and full of new things to do. It's a critical time and a difficult time. It is also, however, a time of creativity, a time of liminality, a time of imagination, and a time when leadership in this parish has found ways to do ever more new work in your renovations, in your dreaming, and thinking about what is next. So what is next after and during these months of transition? I read the profile again yesterday, and one of the very first sentences is this. You name a few ministries, and then you say, with a wide array of ways to worship and serve, we hunger for more. And so what's next, I think, is to stay hungry. Stay hungry. As you search for a new rector, stay hungry for the search. Know that you have built a foundation over so many years of leadership in this congregation and leadership with your clergy, that you are a community of welcome, imagination, curiosity, reconciliation, and resilience. We don't know what the future will be, but we do know that God is calling us there. These phases of the renovation are not just about fixing things, but about a new future. A new future to be drawn into a place of welcome for those in the neighborhood and those well beyond. It is a time to dream together. It is a time to welcome community who at least for now may not even be interested in Christianity, but are interested in welcome and community. For those who might have left and lost their faith, to be open to a community in need, a world in need, and to show that indeed that greatest commandment is what drives us all and helps us to dream together. As you go in these next months preparing to welcome a new rector, let these words of your past bring you into a new future. We ask that God will indeed accompany us, and there is always that promise that is kept. I invite you to keep praying, to keep working, keep staying hungry, knowing that we will be fed. May it be so. And may the peace of Christ be always with us.